tide is rising on a 40-watt moon. And my cheap shoes are burning with something to prove. There's a number two pencil writing verses on my sheets, saying you can be anything if you work hard and believe. Yeah, you can imagine that it all.
Hello and welcome to the Marxism Today podcast. My name is Red Wagner and I'll be your host. You are listening to episode 7, which is on historical materialism. Historical materialism is a method that Marx uses to interpret and explain the history of mankind and the development from one stage of society to the next. Historical materialism combines both philosophical materialism and dialectics. Episodes 2 and 3 of Marxism Today cover these topics, so if you want to hear more about them, you can check those out, but we'll have a quick review right here. Philosophical materialism is the belief that the material world exists independently of our perceptions. According to materialism, if a tree falls in the woods, it does make a sound, whether someone is there to hear it or not. Materialism explains the world by looking at matter and relationships of real things and people in the world. Materialism does not say God wants the king to be in power. Materialism says the king is in power because humans themselves have made society that way. Philosophical materialism is not especially controversial. Dialectics, on the other hand, are not exactly commonplace. The world today, especially Western society, does not see the world using dialectics. We often see the world in black and white, but dialectics challenges that. Dialectics does not simply say that there are areas of gray. Instead, it shows us how black and white exist together in the same thing. Let's look at an example. An extrovert is someone who enjoys being around people and is outgoing, while an introvert is someone who likes to be alone and have time to himself. You might know people who fit into both categories, but consider my case. I'm a very outgoing person who loves being with others, and I'm very vocal in conversation. On the other hand, I absolutely need several hours of alone time each day in order to recharge. Yet again, if I go an entire day without interacting with another person, I become restless or depressed. When it comes to being an extrovert or an introvert, I can't say that I'm one or the other. Also, I can't really say that I'm in the middle. It's not that I'm only somewhat outgoing or that I only sort of like being alone. I have strong tendencies for both being an extrovert and an introvert. I am both black and white at the same time. Dialectical thinking is realizing how something can be both black and white at the same time, just like how I can be an introvert and an extrovert at the same time. It's seeing a contradiction contained within an item or a person or contained within a society. Furthermore, dialectics see change all around us. We cannot say that nature is balanced. The earth has gone through several ice ages which push up new hills and ridges, which carve out new spaces for lakes. The tectonic plates of the earth are shifting, and the earth spews up molten lava, which can then become new mountains or islands. This moving, transforming picture of the earth is a dialectical picture. But this is not just the earth, which is constantly in motion. The organisms on the earth are evolving and changing, while some are dying out. Mankind develops new technologies. Those of us in the first world all go out and buy tape decks and throw away our turntables. Then we buy CD players and we throw out our tape decks. Then maybe we buy MP3 players and throw out our CD players. But we'll only hold on to our MP3 players until something else comes along. The world is an ever-changing and contradictory place. Not only can something be black and white at the same time, but perhaps later it will be black and blue at the same time. Our world is one of struggle, contradiction, and change. Marx combines dialectics and materialism for his philosophical approach. Both of these philosophies existed before Marx, but no one ever combined them in the way that Marx had. This approach is called dialectical materialism, and when it is applied to the understanding of history, it is called historical materialism. So, what does historical materialism tell us about history? When using historical materialism to analyze society, we are always looking at the economic structure of that society. This is sometimes called the base superstructure framework. If you like, here you can imagine a triangle with a point at the top. Draw a horizontal line through the center of the triangle, making a small triangle on top with a base that's holding it up. The base is the economic structure of society. This can be primitive tribal society, slave-based society, feudal societies, or even modern capitalist society. The base, this economic formation of society, then influences the superstructure, which is the triangle sitting on top of it. In the superstructure, we have all of the ideological parts of society. So this means everything that has to do with ideas and thoughts. Included in this would be politics, religion, music, art, culture, popular beliefs, things like this. Let's look at one specific example. We'll use feudalism. Feudalism is a very specific economic system. In feudalism, serfs are bound to the land. Lords rule over the land and command knights, supposedly providing protection for their serfs, while the serfs provide the lord with crops from the land. The king controls the lords and allocates land to them. The role of the knight is not only to protect the kingdom from outside threats, but also to maintain order within the kingdom. If a serf refuses to work the lord's land for him, a knight with a sword can probably convince him otherwise. That's the economic arrangement, and therefore the base of that society. Since that is how the economy is organized, the rest of society, the superstructure, the ideological content, the ideas and the thoughts, will support and reinforce that economic structure. So what's the justification for why the king was the king in feudalism? Because God said so. This idea was called the divine right of kings. So since the mechanism to justify the economic structure was religion, religion played a very important role in medieval society. Holidays were always religious celebrations. The church was very powerful and had very much sway over that society. The power of archdukes and the pope could rival the power of kings. When we look back at a medieval game which is still popular today, chess, we can see a hint that the church held significant power because one of the important pieces in the game is called the bishop. The justification for the economy, which is the divine right of kings, also determined what kind of books were published. Most writing was done by monks in monasteries who were simply copying the Bible. Additionally, most plays written and performed in the Middle Ages were called morality plays, and they existed only to teach the Word of God to the audience. Another fun experiment you can do is to go into an art museum and look at the content of the paintings. Anything made in Europe before 1500 or so will almost always be religious. Most of the works depict Jesus, but some you can find Mary, and other ones you can find lesser known saints. But again and again, the paintings from that period, from the medieval period, are always religious in nature. Of course, this all makes perfect sense when we are using historical materialism to understand that part of history. First, we look at the economic structure of society. Then we look to see how every part of the superstructure is influenced by the economy and how that superstructure reinforces the justification for the economy. This is the materialist part of historical materialism. Now we must look at the dialectical part as well. How can we see history as dialectical? Ever since primitive tribal society, we have had different classes. Basically, after something called the Neolithic Revolution, mankind developed agriculture, and we've been able to have some people who make food, and other people who are now free to do other things. So in a slave society, slaves can grow and harvest the food, and this allows others in that society to fill other roles. So some of the other roles could be slave drivers who live off the food that the slaves make. Slave drivers don't make any food. And so then they're free to spend their days whipping disobedient slaves to maintain the system. Also, the slave owner, in turn, can spend his time in luxury, enjoying the particularities of religion or philosophy, or perhaps just sipping mint juleps on the porch, or reading literature, whatever he wishes to do. But only in societies where mankind has advanced enough to not need to use the labor of everyone each day to survive can society be divided into classes. Those in the lower classes must labor so that those in the upper classes can enjoy luxury. If we view this dialectically, we can see a tension or a contradiction. The slave must labor to create food for himself, but part of that food feeds the slave driver, and part of that food feeds his master. Another slave must labor to build his shack, but on another day he must labor to build his master's mansion, or perhaps a great pyramid to one day house his master's decaying body. Part of his work is necessary, but part of it is appropriated by the ruling class to support the system which oppresses him. In this way, the slave embodies a contradiction, or a tension in the system. Does the slave work to support himself, or does he work to support his master? He does both. This is another case of something being both black and white at the same time. But not only does our dialectical view embrace contradiction, it also embraces change. We see this change in revolution. From time to time, society is thrown into disarray. Oftentimes, violence surges and the state disintegrates. The whole pyramid of society is thrown into the air. We no longer know who is on top and who is on the bottom. We no longer know what is our economic base. What is the structure? We no longer know what religion, politics, and art will be like in the new world. A new structure is found, an economic base is established, and the superstructure falls into place. Politics and religion shift in order to support the new system. Music and entertainment are formatted in ways that promote the ideas of the new way. When people rose up against the king and feudal control, they established a system based on commodity exchange. People could gain wealth by working and selling their goods. The poor were no longer bound to the land and could hope to be one of the lucky few who struck it rich. Thus, capitalism was born. But, as good historical materialists, we know that capitalism brings with it its own set of contradictions and tensions. there are new forms of social relations, new forms of oppression. There is also a new superstructure, with new art, new music, new politics, and new religion. But our view does not end there. As historical materialists, we know that society is not stagnant, that no form of society lasts forever, and that as the wheel of history turns, we will find ourselves in new situations. We do not ask, will there be a new future? Because we know there will. The world constantly changes. We do not look to God or any outside force to see what our future will be. As materialists, we know that mankind makes its own future. The only question we ask is, what future are we building for ourselves?
The tide is rising on a 41 moon, and my cheap shoes are burning with something to prove. There's a number two pencil writing verses on my sheets, saying you can be anything if you work hard and believe. Yeah, you can imagine that it all costs a little.
This has been episode 7, Historical Materialism. Tune in next time. I'll see you then. This episode is part of the Marxism Today podcast series. Marxism Today is recorded, mixed, edited, produced, and maintained by Red Wagner. It is distributed freely and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. To find out more about the Marxism Today podcast, visit our website at marxismtodaypodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find archives of all of our episodes available for download. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.